Please welcome up our mayor, Karen Goh, as she introduces our guest speaker this morning.
Thank you, Timothy. Isn't it wonderful to feel the presence in the heart of God? I got to first meet and or hear about our guest speaker through Rick Davies, our elder Rick Davies. He came back from the National Prayer Breakfast, and he was so excited about this woman who had created a cafe in San Francisco, a supper club where at-risk youth were being helped. And he said, oh, Karen, you have to go up there. It aligns with Garden Pathways. And I've wanted to do that for some time, but we haven't made it up there. And then towards the end of last year, when the Bakersfield Prayer Breakfast was about to happen, I heard from our chairman, and he said, Teresa Goins is going to be our keynote speaker. And round about that time, Juan Avila, who is our COO at Garden Pathways, also said that Teresa was going to be speaking at our Hope Through Mentoring conference right here in Bakersfield. So, of course, I went on Google and I checked her out. I have to read her bio. And I learned on Google that she was a former corrections officer and she had witnessed the heartbreaking cycle of people coming in and out of the system who are incarcerated. Out of that heartbreak and out of her desire to permanently break that cycle and to help young people find hope, to help them find employment, to help them find training, to help them find supportive services and really grow emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Out of that, Old School Cafe was born. So I read about that. And I also read about how in her quest she had helped over 400 forgotten youth to find that hope and to find employment. And then the bios, Google went on and on about all these awards that she had won, and she has won all kinds of awards. The CNN Hero Award, the Wells Fargo Community Spirit Award, the Bank of America Neighborhood Excellence Local Hero Award, and those were all wonderful things, and I was so excited when I got to hear her at the prayer breakfast and also at our mentoring conference. But I realized that all those bios didn't really capture the essence of who Teresa is, as well as Amy Grant's 1997 hit, I May Not Be Every Mother's Dream for Her Little Girl, and My Face May Not Grace the Mind of Everyone in the World, but that's all right as long as I can have one wish, I pray, when people look inside of me, I want to hear them say, she's got her father's eyes. Her father's eyes, eyes that find the good in things when good is not around, eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found, eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. She has her father's eyes. Her father's eyes. So join me. It's my privilege. I am so honored to be able to welcome my new friend, Teresa Goins, and just an amazing person. Everything that Rick, everything you talked about, but a woman who truly has her father's eyes. Join me in looking at the expression of her father's eyes through this video.
I'm Leonard Ferguson. I don't know who I am. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out. But before, I used to be called a monster, like, because I never cared about nobody. I didn't love nobody. I hated everybody that was in my path.
I used to be in a gang. I sold lots of different drugs. I've done drugs. I used to rob people and just do all around bad things.
Like when you grow up in a war zone, like people think, I mean, just watching on TV, it's way different than you being living in it. And seeing guns, seeing people get chopped off, like just a slice of meat.
When I would watch my mom and dad fight, and it just get so crazy where, you know, they're throwing dishes, he's taking out knives and stuff. I mean, I know I cried because when you get scared as a child, you cry. But at the same time, I was just like, oh, this is how life is.
He said he started drug dealing when he was 3. And I was like, how do you start drug dealing at three. He says, well, my dad was the big drug dealer in the town, and he would give me this bag of something and say, take it down to the neighbor's house. So if your earliest memories are your dad teaching you to be a good soldier, I don't know if I have the words, but it's like instead of like a dad that's a carpenter giving tools and teaching him how to do it, they've not only not given tools, but they've, by the abuse and by the neglect, they've also stripped them and they have holes. You're constantly grabbing for anything to fill those holes of pain.
Never been happy in my whole life, never. I've been a man my whole life, never been happy, not one time. That's why I always drink and always smoke to take away the pain, but it always come back, so I just get another bottle and drink some more.
I feel like the heart of it started when I was a correction officer working with boys that were in gangs. You know, we watched the revolving door, they get out, they come back, and I just thought, you know, there's gotta be, this is horrible. So I would be looking really tough, right, in my combat fatigues and combat boots during the day, and military commands, gentlemen, you know, attention. And then I would cry on the way home. In the middle of the night, I would literally wake up and I would just see it. And it would be, okay, so the kids are running it. So there'd be the business aspect if they wanted to learn that, or cooking or serving or hosting or performing. Here's 10 different things that you can find what your niche is, and will mentor you as an apprentice, and you can just fly.
I'm glad I met Teresa. Like, she changed my whole life. She taught me how to be a better man and how to be a better person.
First of all, that's my mother.
You know, without old school, it would be a hard time right now, trust me. To be honest with you, half of us probably would be in jail right now.
That's why I like coming here. It just makes me feel better about my life. It gives me hope. Because if I wasn't here, I'd have no hope.
All the stuff I did in my past, I can't change it, but I can fix it. I can change for the better.
We don't want to be labeled with our mistakes for the rest of our life. That's not who we are. Old school providing a place that like pulls all that down and pulls back all those labels, and says, you're safe here. We see the gold in you, and we want other people to see the gold in you, because that's who you really are.
I enjoy being in the kitchen, because I love being with the family in the kitchen.
I live in my own world. I can control everything.
Just giving me the opportunity to feel useful, like there's somewhere I can help or somewhere I can grow and be a better person, whether it's me doing poetry, singing, or even just being a manager. I get to find myself, like find out who I really want to be.
So she's been washing and she's been scrubbing since daylight, but even after that, still she don't feel right. Been skipping meals, she was too disgusted to work up an appetite. And half the night she spent dreading the sound of her name being called. Answer when he calls your name. Her mother would always say, home should have been her base. Home should have been where she felt most safe, but instead, every minute now he'll be coming, and I look at her and I tell her, run. Run and don't you look back, you just keep on running. Left, 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 right, left, 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 right, left. Exhausted as she takes every step, do not fall back, soldier. But he calls for her name. Sir. Yes, sir.
It's just really humbling, I think, to get a chance to be a small part of believing in some of these young people and giving them a chance at life. But I so feel like it's them, you know, like I'm just so like my heart feels like it wants to explode when I see them really push past to get to have old school, to get to have a real place. So when I see somebody's really desperate, I can say, come on over. You know, we have a job for you. But it's real life-changing opportunities to be able to offer that and to not feel helpless when tragic things are happening. That is like,
we
are old school. Come on, people, come visit. We're looking for you guys.
Would you please help me welcome a woman who has her father's eyes, Teresa Goins.
Father God, you're so good. What an honor it is for us to get to have your eyes and to get to have your heart, to see people, to see our world the way you see them, the way you see us. Just speak through me today, God. You know exactly what each of us need to hear. Just ask that it would be your words and any of my words, you just move out of the way and just come directly and connect with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, my brothers and sisters of Bakersfield, it's an honor to be with you all. I've been so impressed. I think I'm going to start to call Bakersfield the city of hospitality. this is my second time, and I'm falling in love with your city. And I just, before I get started, I want to just speak a word over you guys that I've really been feeling each time I've come, that I really believe your city is going to be a beacon for the rest of the nation. I really do. In how to come together, I'm seeing people of all spheres in all different areas, from the churches and churches that are collaborating to your mayor, to political, law enforcement, nonprofits, businesses, all with the same heart to really be Jesus' hands and feet and reach and bring the kingdom to earth, but together in unity. And that's when things start to happen. That's a lot of what I'm going to talk about today. But the great thing is I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are actually already doing that. And our country needs to see that, because it's one thing to talk about it, but until you see it and you see it happening and working, then people can follow that. So bravo. My hat's off to you all. So I'd like to start a little bit with my background. So I can't take credit for this creative solution that you saw up here. And as I share some of my background, you'll understand why. people will often ask, oh, are you a foodie? Are you... did you come from like restaurants, and are you a chef? Is that kind of your background or business? And I think that God gets a kick out of taking, what is it, the foolish things to confound the wise. And all throughout the Bible, you hardly ever, I'm trying to actually think of how many stories I can think of where God chose the person that the world would have chosen that made absolute sense to do the thing he called them to do. It's usually the least likely, you know? I mean, my heart goes out to King David, right? I mean, his dad didn't even bring him as part of, he was actually a son. You know, when the prophet is going to anoint one of his sons to be king, he wasn't even considered to even be in the lineup, right? Because he was the least likely that the world thought would make sense to be king. And that's always who God chooses, right? So, no, I did not grow up a foodie. So my for our family, going out to eat was Church's Chicken, Arby's, and a place called Furs Cafeteria. They wore hair nets and kind of slopped the food on the tray. That was fine dining in my family. So that was basically kind of our, because my dad actually, it's funny, did not believe in spending money on going out to eat. So I think he would get a kick out of me having a restaurant now. So that was sort of the fine dining experience. I, at 19, I was a waitress for 4 months at a place called the South 40. And we had guys that came in for coffee and smokes twice a day. Tips were around 50 cents. Because the meal was fairly inexpensive. And this was, again, my fine dining restaurant experience. And I did everything. I would host, and then I would come and take their order, and then I would go make their salads and prep half of the food. And then I would serve, and then I would clean up. I would end up being the janitor at the end of the shift. So there's my background as far as a restaurant. For cooking, I like to cook for about 5 people. That's about as much as I can keep the food hot. The same time, I can't imagine restaurant-wise. So that's my background as far as food and fine dining and business, zero business. So my degree's in psychology. I'm from Arizona. I knew I grew up as a caretaker for my father and my grandmother. And so I knew I had a heart that I wanted to help people. And I knew that since I was really little that God's love is what changes us. And so I thought I was going to become a psychologist. Senior year, I did an internship with probation, ended up working with adults as an intern. And then when they hired me after I graduated college, I worked with the juvenile division. So you saw some of my story there. That's what completely rocked my world, you know, seeing the young people that were trapped in the cycle and the hopelessness. I started crying out to God for a solution. But think about it, like, again, God choosing the least likely, right? I didn't grow up with anybody incarcerated, didn't grow up around gangs. So I had nothing that would qualify me to solve this, right? And so I started asking God, like, who am I? Like, I can't even, like, relate to them. I can't be like, oh, yeah, me too. I went through that, right? So I'm thinking, how in the world can I even, like, my heart's broken for this, and I feel like you're calling me to do something, but what? And how can I? It's such a huge, I mean, think about, this is how usually I think the enemy kind of knocks us out of the game, is he says, seriously, it's mass incarceration. It's such a huge problem. What can you do about it? Right? And so we get these, like, this paralyzed with, it's too big. I'm one person. I'm not qualified. So let me just kind of push that out of my mind. But what's very cool is we have a direct line connection to the master creator that has a creative solution for every single problem that our world faces. So that's why I say I can't take credit for that. I started crying out and I said, very funny, you pick a young little girl from Arizona who grew up with pet chickens and pigs and a horse and, you know, my pet rooster named Big Red, and I'm not tough. I don't even know. And he just said, you love them. You love them with my love. And you just say yes, and I'll show you. And so I didn't get all the pieces at once. He would give me one piece at a time, which is not my favorite. I like to know the plan. I like to have things laid out. So I worked in a juvenile hall for a while, and then two boot camps that housed 100 young male inmates, teenagers. And then I knew this was my calling. So I knew I failed Spanish in school. And so I wasn't good at school. And so I knew that I was going to need to learn Spanish in the culture if most of the young men I was working with were from Mexico and their families. And so I moved to Guadalajara, Mexico, to learn Spanish in the culture. And so again, God gave me the next step. So I still don't know what is this solution. I just know the next step. So I said, okay. So I moved to Guadalajara. All I knew was hola, como estas. and that was about it. And now that is, like, I feel more at home in Guadalajara than I do in San Francisco after 18 years. That there was four families that basically just adopted me. So I'm the adopted gringa from the United States. It was great chisme in their community. Like, oh, they adopted a gringa from the United States. It was great. I have four godsons and from there. And so that just became home. And so then I was kind of like, can I just stay? Like, I literally wanted to just stay there. But God was like, no, I have something for you. You know, like that burning vision to create, you need to go back and do that. But I still didn't know what. So I come back to the States. Lots of things in between there. End up in San Francisco, the one place I didn't want to be because I don't like cold weather and rain, and I don't like traffic. Remember, I grew up out in the country in Arizona, sun, open road. And, so I get there and, I ran a gang prevention program, for a year. Funding was cut. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, here's all these kids that are getting recruited into the gangs, and you've got a program that's working, but then the government cut the funding, and all those kids went downhill immediately. Several joined gangs, several incarcerated, several got pregnant, and we're talking middle school, so 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. And I was like, God, you know, so I'm still in this journey, right? So I've done a few pieces, but I'm back now doing this, and it's not working, and now the program is cut, so I kept praying, God, what is the solution? And the things that I'd heard as an officer, as well as working with these young people that were in the gang prevention program, was jobs, nobody will hire them because they've got felonies, sense of family, because that's what the gangs are providing, and purpose. And so I continue, you know, searching. And then, I'm asking, and then one day I just started to get this picture of this jazz supper club, because I was like, well, where are the jobs? You know, nobody's going to hire these young people, then I need to create something that's going to specifically hire them. And so I thought, well, San Francisco, it's foodie central. You know, people spend money on food, going out to eat. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's the one job that is everywhere in the world. No matter where you go, there's either, even if it's a podunk little cafe to a fine dining restaurant, if you have experience working in a restaurant from the back of the house to the front of the house, you can get work. So, and also, especially in San Francisco, if you're a chef with tattoos everywhere, that's celebrated. So I'm like, oh, that's not gonna X out my kids, right? So I'm thinking all the barriers, like, how, this is brilliant, you know? So I started thinking, well, what if it could be completely youth run so that they can do all the jobs, right? Not just because some of the job training programs, it's one piece, but they're creative. Some are great with people and their characters and they're funny and charismatic, and others are more introverted and they just want to be able to, like Daniel said in there, just control, like what they can control in the kitchen. There's that sense of like, this is my domain. And then I thought, and I've got all these talented young people that were incarcerated that were poets and singers and dancers and comedians for sure. And I thought, what if they could have a stage that would show the world who they are? Not, they're just known for their negative actions. And none of us want to be known for the worst thing we've ever done. You know, we that's the beauty of God, is he sees past, you know, just like Gideon. He didn't say, hey, Gideon, you big coward. Now Gideon was in the middle of being a coward, hiding, but that's not what God saw. He called him a mighty man of valor. And that's what we all need, is to be seen and be called out who we truly are, not just the mess that we're in at the time. And so here comes the vision. So literally, what you saw up there, I started to see the colors. I saw, you know, you're walking into this fine, classy 1920s, 40s speakeasy Harlem Renaissance club that's got the live jazz, and yeah, I heard the sound of the glasses clinking and conversation buzzing, and you'd walk in and it would be a young person that would be hosting you right this way. And then as you sat down, it would be another young person that would come and take your order and welcome you to the old school cafe and tell you a little bit about their story. And then if you got up to go to the bathroom, you'd check in the kitchen, you'd see, oh my gosh, it's all young people that are cooking the food and washing the dishes, definitely their favorite part. And it would be young people that would be coming to bus your table. And then you'd look up at the stage and you're like, oh my gosh, are they 13 jazz musicians? Like 13 and 14 year olds that sound like Frank Sinatra. Amazing. And so that became the vision. This 1920 style speakeasy run all by 16 to 22 year olds coming out of jail, foster care, traumatic life circumstances, as a place where they could not only get a real job so they have a legal way of making money, but also the mentorship, the life skills, the prayer, the support, the wraparound to say, we see you as God sees you, and the gold in you, and we're going to call that out even before you see it. So this is why I say I can't take credit for that, because literally I started writing it down. I just saw it, and I had been asking God for years, what's the answer? God, you can't break my heart for this situation, which clearly broke his heart, and then not give me an answer. But I told you some of the non-qualifications. I also had no, besides those 4 months, had no other restaurant experience. I had no business experience. I think I avoided those classes like the plague in college. Remember, psychology major. I had no money backer. I had no celebrity chef. And at that time, 15 years ago, social enterprises or hiring people coming out of incarceration was kind of unheard of and definitely not cool. And so people are like, so you have no money, no experience, and you want to hire young people with anger issues and criminal background that have never worked before to run one of the hardest businesses to run. 9 out of 10 restaurants fail. And I'm like, yep, that's pretty much it. And so, you know, so I think that what is fun about this is, and I wrote this down, I'm going to read this part. God loves, so those are my qualifications, but God loves a process of relationship and intimacy with us. He breaks our heart for what breaks his, so that we respond by seeking him for the answer, of which, of course, he already has and is delighted to give to us. But he wants to partner and work with us and him to work and to work through his children to bring the kingdom to earth through us and our faith in him. And this is the part that gets me excited. Do we have any dancers in the audience? Any dancers? Raise your hand if you're a dancer. Okay, a few. Okay, so now the leaders will appreciate this. If you've ever danced with somebody in a partner dance, and have you ever been trying to lead and the person is back leading? And how frustrating that is when you're trying to lead and the person is trying to anticipate the steps or guide it. It's jerky and it's like it's kind of to watch because it's very awkward. But when the person following the leader just relaxes and sinks in and just responds to whatever the leader is doing, it's very subtle. Sometimes it's, so for example, if somebody puts their, if we're in the frame and the hand goes up and there's a slight little pressure on my back, I'm immediately in a spin. I haven't even thought of it. Because it's you just are so sensitive to what those cues mean. And then it becomes this magical, almost like one person gracefully moving. And you don't hear the person say, okay, now I'm going to turn you. Now I'm going to move you to the left, right? That would, but when you learn and you get that connection with that person, you feel every slight movement and cue, you know what to do. And it just becomes effort. And I just think that that's such a fun, partly because I'm a dancer, but our it's a partner dance with God, right? And so the part that sets my heart on fire is that we all have that same access. And God wants to do that partner dance with each of us. We don't have to have the solution. It's really fun. If you're a follower and you dance with a great lead, you don't even have to know the dance that well because you can just rest, relax back in and just feel how the person's guiding you. So I want to talk a little bit about King Solomon. So King Solomon asked for wisdom and had answers to problems that his society had that nobody had these. I mean, we're talking creative solutions that just blew people's mind. Kings and queens and people came from all over to see the way he ran his palace, the details, because there was so much wisdom and answers, solutions to things in the details. And what I got kind of excited thinking about Solomon is that we now all have the Holy Spirit. We have the exact same direct line of all creative solutions for every single problem that our society faces. I mean, that, like, sometimes I'm like, do I really believe that? Right? Solomon was one man in this, all the people that had been in this world, he was one man that believed, that asked and believed and got direct access and answers and solutions to problems. And you know what it did is it made the world go, wow, truly your God must be the real God, right? When we bring solutions to the problems of our world, it points people to God. Because seriously, a youth-run supper club? I mean, I just told you all of the qualifications, all the reasons that does not make sense. And it's not a burger joint. It's a fine dining, classy, dress up, you know, come for live jazz and dinner. That came from God. I asked him, I said, God, please give me a solution. And it was a fancy creative one that I couldn't have come up with on my own. every single one here today has that same access, that same ability to hear a creative solution to something that God's put in your heart that nobody else has. So that got me thinking. Okay, so let's think about all the times that in the Bible that we saw these crazy creative solutions. So what if, I don't know, we have maybe 60 people, 70 here today? So I'd like you to just take a moment, because remember, and I'm just one person that didn't know anything about running a restaurant, but God does, right? That was a creative solution. So we're talking about Solomon. Now I'm one more person, but look how many people we have right here today that all have access to that same creative God that created the entire universe, that, you know, we're hearing creative solutions. I mean, it blows my mind, all of the artificial intelligence things. I'm like, what? Right? Somebody is getting that all of these answers come from our God. And if anybody should have the answers, it should be us, right? Because again, we can ask God, and his heart is to solve and to heal and to provide. So I'd like you to just take a couple moments and take out your phone or something to write on. And my question is, what pricks your heart? What's a problem in our society? What's a problem in your community that you've seen that you just go, no, that's not okay. There's got to be a solution. Doesn't matter if it's huge, right? Because our God is huge and things are not too big for him. So just take a moment. I'd love for you to write down what pricks your heart. What bothers you you'd like to see a solution to? I'll give you just a few moments to do that. Okay. So my hope and my encouragement is that you'll share that with somebody today and talk with them about it. And so, you know, I myself often forget that I serve a huge and great God, and I get caught up in, I'm notorious for laying in bed at night trying to solve all these problems by myself. and I have to come back a lot to, Father, forgive my unbelief. What are you doing? Where are you moving in this? You know, what is your solution? What is your solution that's beyond my wildest dreams or understanding? And what would you have me to do? And then I want us to think about, again, how many we have in just this room, not just one person, right? But we have all of us that have that direct connection. What if we all decided today that we're going to start walking in our identity, believing that we truly have access to the creative answers to every single problem our world is facing? Would the world not want to know our God? What if we began to ask, believe, and step out in faith to bring the kingdom of heaven to the needs of our community and city? What if we took it a step further, I don't know, and did it together in unity without fighting one another? What if we didn't need to be more important than each other? What if we laid our ego at the foot of the cross and no longer needed praise or recognition from people, only the Father? What if we no longer needed a title or to be seen as important in order to feel valuable? What if our identity was so profoundly unshakable as loved and powerful sons and daughters of the Most High God that the negative, critical spirit of division and pride couldn't even get a foothold in between us? Can you imagine what we could do? How many times in the Bible did we see God act on the behalf or through his people that, you know, usually didn't make sense in the natural realm, that had been worshiping other gods that would turn when they would see God work in these miraculous ways through his people and go, wow, surely your God must be the one true God? How often do our neighbors and coworkers and family, people in our sphere of influence, say, wow, your God must be the one true God? Because of the manifestation of God in our lives and the creative solutions, this, where it's not just for ourselves, but it actually helps our neighbors and helps the world, this is what gets me excited, because we literally have those answers. I just, like, that gets me, like, when I think about how many Solomons we have here. you know, and it's no longer where we have to go to a temple to access, you know, through a priest. We have that direct connection and that direct access. And the last thing that I'd like to just leave you with, is anybody ever been where you have had an event or a party and everybody like, oh, I gotta go. I work with young people, so this was like their favorite. Oh, my ride's here. I gotta go. I can't help with the dishes, right? And because old school was in my house for like 8 years, I would often like come down in the morning and have just a disaster to clean up and by myself, which was no fun till I instituted rules. But I think of it the same way, is if a few people are working and having to clean up and do the heavy lifting, it's overwhelming. But because we all, if we start to work together and we all have that connection, it's the whole many hands makes light work. So imagine with issues of poverty, homelessness, incarceration, all of these things that are happening, if we all take up, we all take some dishes, we all come together, we all pray together and ask for solutions, and we work together in unity, it's not heavy for anybody. Because God does the heavy lifting. So I'll just close with that. I thank you all for having me. You're doing it already. So I just hope I was able to come and encourage, because I'm already seeing that spirit of unity and creativity. So God bless you all. I hope to get to see you again shortly.